Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Okay. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Chapter 28 and verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3. If you find it, shall praise the Lord. It is on your screen for your convenience. Always bring your Bible with you. The Bible says, "Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, mourned for him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul," notice this, what happens here, "and Saul," King Saul, "had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem." Now it's important, I looked this up this morning, it's important to understand that Shunem means a place of quietness. All right, the Philistines are at a place of quietness. "And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gibeah." Now Gibeah means a fountain of overflowing. And in verse 5 it says, "And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled." And verse 6 says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord," notice what happens, "the Lord," what? "Answered him not." Anybody ever felt there? Felt like that before? You prayed and God never answered you with your prayer? "Neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets." And by the way, Urim was basically the priestly stones that were just turned different colors to guide the priest or the prophets, whoever it was seeking the Lord. Verse 7 says, "Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor." Today we're going to be talking about soul ties. We said we were going to be preaching this a couple of weeks ago. We preach soul wounds. Now we're going to talk to you today about soul ties. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact on a sign of unity, and let's invade the holy realm of God's presence and ask Him to bless this place. Father, we love You. We're so thankful, Lord, for this privilege to be in Your house. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to begin this first segment, and I want to tell you what I have been saying for quite a while. I believe, Brother Jeff, I believe a resurgence is happening, but it won't happen without a fight. I believe a resurgence is taking place. I believe that God is wanting to send not necessarily just revival, but a resurgence. I believe that God wants to strengthen the body of Christ. I believe that God wants to bring us fresh air. I know they have something that's called a runner's high. And when a runner is running so much that he gets almost to the, almost his body almost collapses, he's so tired, he wants to quit, all of a sudden they get what they call a second breath. It's a runner's high. It's a chemical that is released into the body. And it keeps that runner to keep going and move forward and not give up. I believe that's what God wants to do for the church. He wants to bring a resurgence to your life. But this resurgence that God has for you and I is not going to happen unless we understand that we're going to have to fight for it. What if we truly want something from the Lord, we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, hey neighbor, the tide is turning in your favor. The tide is turning. I believe that right now. I know some of you perhaps have been going through some things and you just want to know, when am I ever going to get out of this? It's like test after test after test. But regardless of all the tests that are coming your way, I believe the tide is turning in your favor. If you believe that, say amen. So the fight that we're currently engaged in is this fight. It's a fight for what I want to talk about today is a fight for our strength. That's what the devil's after. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So what does he do? He tries to take the joy away from our lives. He uses all types of situations, circumstances, even people. and to try to rob the joy of the Lord out of our lives. He wants us to become weakened. And so these things I want you to write down. There are five things I want you to write down real quickly that I believe that we need right now. Five things as a believer that we need right now. Number one, we need godly wisdom. Everybody say godly wisdom. We need godly wisdom. Wisdom, the application of knowledge. But we need godly wisdom. Not just our own wisdom, but we need godly wisdom. Number two, we need godly favor. I want to walk in God's favor, don't you? You know, Jesus, when he, after he had went through the wilderness, the Bible says he found favor with who? With God and with man. We need godly favor. Number three, we need the fear of God. How many believe that? There is little or no fear of God anymore in people's lives. They talk about the church, they ridicule people, they talk about God, it's terrible. They blaspheme after blaspheme, and there's no fear of God. We need the day of Acts fear of God installed back into our lives. The fourth thing we need is not only the fear of God, but we need faith in God. That's what Jesus basically said. He said, have faith in God. We need to have faith. Some of you, your faith has been tested. It's been tried. Satan has went to your life and has done all that he could do to try to sift you as wheat and come against your faith in God. And that's why Jesus prayed for Peter. I'm praying that your faith fail not. We need to have faith renewed in God. Amen? And in his word. And the last thing, this is what we're going to be talking about. We need godly strength. I'm not just talking about your own physical strength. I'm talking about godly strength. A strength that comes from God. Only God can give you this type of strength. A strength that can withstand the tsunamis that come your way. The strength in God that can withstand the bad news or whatever clerical errors that may be in your life that takes place in your finances. Whatever it is, that you can just stand firm on the Word of God and the rock of God and say, you know what? None of these things will move me. Have godly strength. You know, there's a biblical term, and I've heard it said many times even here, there's a biblical term that is being misused and being misinterpreted in the church. And I want to center on that right now. I want to talk to you about this word infirmity. Everybody say infirmity. In the book of Luke chapter 13 verse 11, we see Jesus doing something miraculous here. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a what? She had a spirit of infirmity. 18 years she had this and was bowed over or bowed together, bowed together, however you want to use that term, and could in no wise lift herself up. So here she is bent over and she can't stand straight because of this spirit of infirmity. But it says that when Jesus saw her, what did he do? He called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from what? Thine infirmity. And he said, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, because our Western definition of infirmity, it describes this word infirmity. The way we look at it, we call it a serious medical condition causing difficulty primarily with physical function. That's what we call infirmity. It's a serious medical condition that's causing physical problems. But according to the book of Luke, we look in the King James Version of this, and we see this word that is translated, this word infirmity. In the Koine Greek, it is actually this Greek word, asthenia. I think that's how you say it. A-S-T-H-E-N-I-A. And the primary use of this word, now this is shocking to me because I have thought for all this time, this woman that has a spirit of infirmity has a physical problem, a disease. That this woman is struggling with a spirit of infirmity and it's a disease in her life and she can't overcome it and she needs healing. But I see something that God reveals to me about infirmity, about this word asthenia, however you say it in the Greek. Its primary use is this word, weakness. I want you to think about what I'm about to say here. Because weakness, as you know, is what? It's the absence of strength. There's a lot of people that are weak in the body of Christ. Weakness is named when you are taking communion unworthily, when you've not really looked into your life, and the Bible talks about some are weak, you know. Weakness is a problem in the body of Christ. Weakness, or this Greek word, not only describes physical weakness, but it also describes mental weakness. It even can describe spiritual weakness. It also describes moral weakness. Can you say today that the body of Christ is strong, or can you say the body of Christ today is weak? I want you to think about what I'm saying this morning, because in Nehemiah's time, now if you remember the book of Nehemiah, what was Judah's reasoning for not building the wall? Why couldn't Judah build the wall? If you remember Nehemiah, here God is instructing them, I need you to go and we need to rebuild the wall. We need to do all these things. Judah comes to the prophet and he says, we cannot build the wall. What was the reason they couldn't build the wall? Let me show you real quick. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, it'll be on your screen. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall. There, in other words, there's no strength. Maybe the reason we see the church not fulfilling her assignment, not clearly being effective in their communities and in the families, is because the church is operating in the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of weakness. Maybe that is the reason. And so I submit today, there is a spirit of weakness among the body of Christ. There's people who work all day and they're too tired to come to church. That's a spirit of weakness. But they work all day and they're fine to go to a ball game. See, there's a spirit of weakness that is plaguing the body of Christ. And we need to pull it back. We need to reveal it. We need to uncover it and say, what is happening here? What is going on? It's more than just priorities, Pastor Crystal. It's more than just having this desire. There's something going on that needs to be dealt with. And I believe that God wants to deal with it this morning. I believe a resurgence is happening, but it's not going to happen without a fight. It's not going to happen without a fight. Jesus exposed the root of the woman's suffering, and he said it's a spirit of infirmity. It is a spirit of weakness. And what we need a resurgence of the strength of God in the body of Christ. We need God to renew our strength. Can I hear an amen? Do you realize that the Apostle Paul, he warred against this spirit of infirmity? He warred. It was a fight that he had to fight. The majority of his life, here he's fighting a spirit of infirmity. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It's on your screen. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For what does he say? For my strength, for God's strength is made perfect where? In weakness. Then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in what? In my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, I may glory in my weaknesses. I may glory in my disembarkment syndromes. I may glory in my aches and my pains and my exhaustion. I may glory in my depression. I may glory in all these things that are coming against my life. Why? So the power of Christ may rest upon my life. Amazing. This is incredible teaching. He says, therefore I take pleasure. Now, I don't take pleasure in infirmities, but Paul says that. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I am strong. So I'm looking at a weak church that God is saying, I'm about to blanket Gospel Lighthouse Church with strength that you have never tapped into before. A supernatural strength that you thought, hey, I've been running this race and I'm getting exalted. I'm trying not to be weary in my well-doing, because I know if I'm not weary in well-doing, I shall reap if I not faint. but I'm still holding on. I mean, I'm just barely making it. And all of a sudden, God breathes upon Gospel Lighthouse Church. He breathes upon our lives, and He brings us supernatural strength that we thought we would never, ever see in our life. Now, I want you to see this. If the Apostle Paul's thorn in the flesh was a disease, then God could have easily healed him and made him whole. I heard pastors say, well, it's just a disease, or his thorn in the flesh was a physical habit, or it was a disease, or it was an ailment that he was dealing with, and that's what it was. But notice this. Notice God told the Apostle Paul that the remedy, the cure for his infirmity is simply what? Are you following along? I'm teaching you guys something here. The cure for what was Paul's cure for his infirmity? The strength of God. The strength of God. Your cure for your finances is the strength of God. The cure for I heard the Lord say depression. The cure that you're going through with depression. The cure that you're going through with all of the problems that you're facing is going to be the strength of God. The devil will come and lie to you and tell you that it's cancer. Lie to you and tell you that you have a tumor. Lie to you and tell you you're going to end up in divorce court. Lie to you and say you're going to bankrupt. Lie to you and say all these things. You need to accept and receive the strength of God in your life. It's amazing when I see this. How can you be strong when you're weak? How can you be strong when you're weak? When you're physically weak, how can you be strong? Think about that. This is how. We become strong when we're weak, when we place complete dependency upon the might, the power, and the strength of God. In the past 3.5 years, I have learned how to glory in my infirmities, to glory in my weakness. I've learned to do that so the power of Christ may blanket me. That's the only way I can stand behind this pulpit, is understanding that I cannot do this by myself. I need God's strength to get through every day. So let me just pause for a moment and just help you help me. Is that okay? You don't have to come to me and say, oh, I'm having this problem. Oh, this is falling apart. No, I'm helping you help me, okay? I'm taking a load off my shoulders. Is that all right? I'm telling you, get the strength of God for your life. Get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Get strong in your marriage. Get strong in your family. Get strong in your faith. Get strong in wisdom. Get strong in faith. Get strong in favor. Get the strength of God in your life. That way, when you come to me, you're not complaining. You're not worried. You come to me and you're rejoicing and you're saying, thank God for His blessings and His favor and how He's helped me get through what I've been facing. Amen? This is incredible today. So, Romans 8:26. It's going to be on your screen. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps what? Helps what? Our infirmities. What are infirmities? Weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How many are you grateful for the Holy Ghost this morning? Grateful for the helper that God, that Jesus promised, the promise of the Father. That's who we need to lean on today, is the Spirit of the living God. Thank God for Him. So the key to victory over any physical, any spiritual, any mental or moral weakness is through the Spirit of God. If we want to see life breathe back, Pastor Carl, in our services, we need to call God to prophesy to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and send forth the Ruach HaKodesh and breathe life back into this army that God is raising up. When these children are coming off the van, we should say, God, breathe life into these children every time that they're in the service, that they get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the power of God that's going to give them strength when they go back home and got to face all the stuff the junk that they face. And you too, my friend, when we come into this place, we should say, God, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. So when I walk out to my job tomorrow morning, I'm filled with God and I'm not overcome by the wickedness and the snares of the enemy. No, we need to see, be the church that God has called us to be, and say, fill this place with His Spirit. You believe that? So, the key to victory is through the Spirit of God. And I want to show you real quickly on the screen, and you may want to write these down, three advantages of how the Holy Spirit helps with our infirmities, with our weakness. Three advantages. Number one, it's on your screen. Number one, three advantages. The Holy Spirit knows the secret plans of the adversary, and it can expose them, those plans, in advance. Groanings that cannot be uttered. Hear the Holy Spirit. That's why you're praying in the Spirit, because God is preparing you. He's giving you strength. But also the Holy Spirit is thwarting the plans of the enemy. Number two, the Holy Spirit knows the perfect will of God for your life. How many want to walk in the perfect will of God for your life? There's no permissive. You know, I heard people talk about, well, we just did a permissive. Listen, God doesn't give you permission to fail. He wants you to walk in His perfect. That's why Jesus said, be ye perfect as a Father is perfect. Be complete. He wants you to walk in His complete will. Not giving you permission to come in second best. Number three, the Holy Spirit will help you achieve the goal of walking in God's purpose for your life. And so not only do you know the will of God, but the Holy Spirit has also given you the advantage to walk in the purpose of God for your life. So you look at Romans 8, 26 and 27, and you look at all what the Spirit does. He helps with our infirmities. We don't know what we're going to pray for, and have the Holy Spirit prays. He intercedes for us. He does all these things. And it culminates to the next verse. Are you ready for the next verse? Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Thank God we have the Holy Spirit. That's why I always include Him in my prayers. So let me, you're sitting here and you're auditing this message. You're listening very intently and you're asking yourself this question. What does the spirit of infirmity or the spirit of weakness have to do with soul ties? What in the world does this have to do with soul ties? Let me tell you, when God brought you into this world, God factored in your strengths and your weaknesses. He knew what you would be strong at and He knew what you would be weak at. God factored those in. And God has given you a path, given me a path, given us a path to follow. And God has already provided. God has given us the resources necessary to turn our weaknesses into strength. One of the things that I enjoy, that I find strength, is cutting up, especially with Pastor Carl. He will get me laughing. We went bowling the other day. And I couldn't do anything. And he was talking about, you will win if you don't spin. And I've been working on this spin for years. And I just cut up and I laugh. And what's happened is given me strength, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. What is happening? That weakness is developing into strength. You see what's happening here? So God knows. God gives us this path, and He gives us the resources. And Pastor Carl's a resource. Thank God for that. You're a resource. We're resources. And you can get on the text people, and we send the devotion. Those are resources. Those are helpful. What does this have to do with soul ties? Look back with me into 1 Samuel. We're about to close. This is Sister Linda Waller. This is close number one, okay? So write that down, make sure I don't miss it. This is my first close, all right? Number one. 1 Samuel 28, verse 3. It said, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, mourned over him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And look what happened here. Saul, King Saul, had put away, everybody say put away. Put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. So what I read right now is that King Saul, he has started his journey out on the right foot, did he not? One of the very first things you read about all the kings, what they did is the good kings, they would tear down all of the idols, idol worship. They got rid of all that stuff. Well, seeing here you have King Saul, and he's doing the same thing. He's getting rid of all these familiar spirits, these wizards and stuff. And so, since the prophet Samuel was alive at this time, you know, earlier he was alive, Samuel, the prophet, is available for Saul. King Saul simply had to talk to Samuel and consult with the prophet Samuel and say, "Hey, we need some advice." Now, though, we see something that's happened. Samuel is dead. So King Saul, looking for advice, and look what happens. He doesn't have anybody to consult with. The prophet is gone. Samuel doesn't have anybody to consult with. I'm talking about soul ties this morning. Look at 1 Samuel 28 and verse 4. Be on your screen. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, which is a place of quietness. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa, which is a fountain of overflowing. And verse 5 it says, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, what happened? He was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. He had a panic attack. Anybody ever had panic attacks before? Saul's having a panic attack. He sees something. And look what happens next, in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets. So Saul does something that the children of Israel did when they brought up an evil report, right? Saul does the same thing. He sees these Philistines and he becomes afraid. And he's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And he's having panic attacks and he's just become so weak. He doesn't know how to respond. That was the same thing in Joshua's day. When they went to take the land, he sent out the spies, and then guess what happened? They came back with an evil report. Only Caleb and Joshua said, hey, we're more than able to take them. Saul didn't have that kind of narrative, did he? He didn't have that kind of umph that, hey, we're going to take them. No, he started being afraid. He called on God, and God did not respond. Now, I'm going to show you something real quick, because some of you need to hear what I'm about to say. Let me warn you right now. Be very careful of who you are consulting with. Some of you right now are consulting with the wrong people. You're talking to the wrong people. You need to consult with your spiritual leaders. If you haven't established a fruitful relationship with God, where God and you can communicate clearly, you have entered into a very vulnerable season. You have entered into the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of weakness. Look what happens next. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, he said, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit of Endor. And I thought about this, Brother D. How did his servants even know about this woman of Endor? How did they even know? Somewhere, somebody had made a connection to these servants and said, hey, look, if Samuel ain't cutting it, there's a witch down in Endor that you can talk to and consult with. My, oh, my. I said this a few months back. Some of you may remember this. But we can learn a lot from the garden. We can learn a lot from a garden. The downfall of Adam, the downfall of Eve, the downfall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it's a condition that you and I deal with every day. Their downfall is the same condition that we deal with constantly, every day. Anybody want to guess what that is? Adam and Eve became comfortable living with the serpent. They become comfortable living with the serpent. There are people today that are soul tied to things that God has said, I never told you to come in agreement with. Some of you are soul tied to these so-called influencers on YouTube saying, oh yeah, I'm of God. Convince you all this stuff. And God has said, I'm not in that. We got to be very careful who we're coming in agreement with. Look what happened here. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard this expression, familiarity breeds contempt? Anybody ever heard that before? Familiarity breeds contempt. What does that mean? It means it's an expression that simply describes a human tendency to know someone so well that you cease respecting or honoring that person. You just become so, I mean, that's your relationship. You just, you know them so well now. This is a dangerous pattern that I've seen happening in churches. They want to buddy up with the pastor. They want to buddy up with the leader, the shepherd. And they want to just become so, and there's nothing wrong with having friends and relationships. But it gets to the point where they're disrespecting the pastor. When people came to me Pastor Craig said this. He said, I don't even know when it's time to leave a church. And so that was an area in my life that I wanted to say, hey, you know what, God? I don't want to be like that. I want to know when it's time to leave and how long to stay and all this. And Pastor Craig always said, well, I just don't know when it's time to leave. I don't want to be that way. But one of the things that I've learned is that when people quit addressing me as pastor and just call me JC, that is an area that it says, hey, wait a minute. They're just treating me like I'm not even the pastor anymore. That is a red flag. Familiarity breeds contempt. It's what I like about Winston Burton. Winston would come to me, even he didn't even attend here, and he always calls me Pastor JC. All the time he's calling me pastor. See, he understands that. And we need to get to that point where we need to question where we're at. So those relationships, you started out as a welcome mat. They started great, but they ended up becoming a dirty doormat. We're talking about soul ties. So be careful of who you tie yourself with. Because you may include somebody in your sphere of influence that is out to harm you. Maybe they've learned a negative trait about you, and they go off and they get offended and they start sharing that negative trait to everybody else in their sphere of influence. That's what causes division, and that's why there are so many churches in our community. And so we're talking about soul ties. Look what happens here in Leviticus 19 and verse 31. It's on your screen, Caleb. God says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, I know you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. For God warns us the danger of soul tying ourselves with the occult, right? Excuse me while I take a drink. God is warning us, do not soul tie yourself with the occult. I'm not going there today. I'm not going to talk about the dangers of the occult because there's so many that is so vast that we could easily nitpick. I'm not talking about that. What I want to talk about is this other soul tie. Are you ready for it? If you are, say, I'm ready. I want to talk to you about soul tie that we need to unpack and expose. And it's this. It's the emotional attachment through familiarity that breeds weakness. Emotional attachments. You realize that there's a portal that you use every day that becomes an emotional attachment, and it's your cell phone. Look at this. The example of a soul tie attachment occurs when people who have worked closely together for many years become so comfortable with each other that they develop an intimate relationship emotionally. No, they're not committing adultery. They're not committing fornication. It's nothing sexual there. But they're having an emotional, intimate relationship. And it's tying them up. Let me continue. These people that follow this, when someone doesn't receive the proper attention and the affection at home, whether it is husbands and wives or parents and children, what happens? They seek out that attention and affection from someone that they have developed a special bond with. Let's go a little further. These victims, soul tie victims, they become territorial and they become protective of their soul ties. When someone says, "What are you doing?" They get aggressive. And they're like, "What are you talking about?" "No, my mother would always say, my niece was talking about, we're just hanging out. Are you hanging out? Are you hanging on? What's going on in your life? This is good stuff. Now remember, the reason I'm talking about soul ties is because the enemy will always attack you when you are at your weakest. When you are at your weakest. You may be here today, right now, and God is warning you to seal off the pipeline. You may be here today, and there's a familiar spirit operating in your family lineage, causing you to be stuck in a cycle of fleshly bondage. God wants to free you from that bondage. You may be here today, and those soul ties are trying to capitalize on family weaknesses, attempting to trap other family members in the same bondage. Talking about soul ties, whatever the case, this is what I believe. I believe that God has enough grace. I believe God has enough power. I believe that God has enough strength to give you and I the victory over the tricks and the snares of the devil. I truly believe that. I believe a resurgence is happening, and it's not going to happen unless we're going to fight for it. We're going to fight for this resurgence. We're going to fight for our family. We're going to fight for our freedom. We're going to fight for this revival. We're going to fight for our church. We're not going to give in to the weakness of the flesh, but we're going to welcome God's presence and His Holy Spirit to give us the strength that we need. Can somebody say amen? Now's not the time to quit. Today's not the time to quit. The tide is turning in your favor. It truly is turning in your favor. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How can I make this message, this morning, soul ties, how can I make it count for life? Well, this is the bottom line. The best way to make true and pure application of this message today is to don't give in your weakness. Don't give in to this weakness. Don't give in to it. Don't isolate yourself and give in to that weakness. Look what God says. Now, this is what happened with King Saul. Let's close the book on King Saul. This is what happened to King Saul. King Saul loses his position because of this going to this witch of Endor. Okay? He loses that. God has raised up David. David replaces King Saul. But the sad story about King Saul is this. Not only did King Saul lose his life, but King Saul's sons lost their lives as well. It affected his entire immediate family. Soul ties. Maybe you're here today and you've got something tied up and it's knotted up, and you need God to release that and free you from that. Let's stand together. Ephesians 6:10. Everybody say finally. It's on your screen, Brother Caleb. Finally, my brethren, do what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's bow our heads and our hearts today. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for this word. Thank You for ministering to us in a special and a powerful way. And Lord, I know People today are tied into so many things, and they need to be free from this. Completely free. And only you, Father, is able to truly destroy. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, but it's also a conscious effort on our part to say, I don't want to be tied in this anymore. I don't want to be influenced anymore by this. I refuse. I want to be free. You're here this morning and you say, Pastor JC, I'm weak. I'm weak in my faith. And I need God to bring me strength. I'm weak in my body. I'm weak emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I'm weak morally, perhaps. I'm weak and I need God to strengthen me. I used to have this fervency about myself. I used to be ambitious. I used to want to get things done. I used to have love to go and minister and to spread the gospel. I used to have that love and that interest, but now it's just like become a duty. It's not a delight anymore. It's just a duty. And I need God to bring me a revival of strength. Whoever you are, whatever you're going through, it's none of my business. It's all of yours and God's business. But I believe that God is going to bless you and strengthen you. I want you to do something with me. I'm going to take your right hand. I want you to put it over your heart. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen my heart. Make my heart strong in the Lord and the power of your might. Take your right hand, put it on your mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen my mind. Help me to have the right thoughts. Help me to believe in you and to see the things you want me to see. Put your hands over your ears and say, Father, strengthen my ears. Help me to hear your voice and no other influencer. Give me courage to step out when you call my name. In Jesus' name. Take your neighbor by your hand, by their hand. Hold it tight. Some of your husbands and wives, some of your mothers and daughters, some of your just friends. But take somebody's hand and hold it tight. Squeeze it tight and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen my relationship. Strengthen the family of God. Help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, where we will not allow the enemy to come in and try to mess things up. In Jesus' name. Isn't God awesome? Don't you love Him?
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.